And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. I'm your announcer, Terry Tackett, and it is my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I had a couple days off to breathe a little bit and kind of recharge my batteries just a bit. Sometimes we need that every now and then. You are listening to Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm the host of the Pastor Spot, which is a outreach ministry of Community Christian Fellowship Baptist Church in Prospect, Ohio. Our address is 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, or you can reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. And our service times are Sunday at 10:30, and we have midweek service and youth group, and just check us out. There's all kinds of things you can get involved in. Well, it's good to be here. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? I gotta condense that somehow. It's great to be here. And like I said, my battery's recharged a little. You ever notice, Terry, that when you get to go away for a few days, it allows you to kind of refocus, look at things, and maybe clear some of the cobwebs out?
You need that sometimes, you know what I mean? Just to kind of clear your mind, and you know, and I've been the last 5 days I've been on vacation, you know, and it's been
good
great.
For you.
Yeah, it's been great.
Nice, just kind of clear your head and really give you some time of some perspective, a little bit of perspective on what you're looking at. And you know, the Lord's been pretty good to me. Most of the things at this point in my life that I'm involved in are things that I'm thrilled that I am. And you know, watching the Lord work in my life, and then every day coming back to giving that time to Him, so it continues that way, is such a blessing to watch where He goes and what He does. And you know, I just want to finish strong. You know, I turn 60 tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday. I will be 60 years old. And, you know, they say that the best years are age 50s, and they were for me. I loved my 50s. You're still got enough energy to do things when you did in your 20s and 30s and 40s. It's kind of the empty nest years a little bit, and the kids are kind of grown, and you don't feel the certainly we have our love for our children, but kind of the weight of the responsibility isn't there so much, and it's a great time. But 60 scares me a little, and only in the sense that I don't know if scares the right word, but the end of 50 is 60, but the end of 60 is 70, and at 70, I think I'm going to have to be a little proactive in how I take care of myself over the next 10 years if I'm going to see 70. But anyway, it's great to be here. You know, I saw a sign coming in town tonight. And the sign was on a billboard right there coming in Route 4. And it said that fear is contagious, but so is hope. Isn't that neat? Think about that. Great billboard. Fear is very contagious. Some people operate from fear. We see that a lot of times. People talk about that during election cycles, that you know, people are just fear-mongering people and wanting people to, you know, that kind of thing. And fear is very contagious. Funny story years ago that someone told me that it was an old – actually, I was reading it, I believe, in some old archives on Marion County from years and years ago. And this was back in a time when there were still Indians in the area, and some were considered hostiles. And there was a camp on 423. There was an outpost on 423. And one of the guys in the camp that night, just to be funny, jumped out of bed and started yelling, "Indians, Indians, Indians." And the guys were in such a frenzy. They didn't know what was going on. They started grabbing their weapons and grabbing their guns and their blankets and bedrolls and jumping on their... And they started heading south. Well, as they came through Radnor, they're yelling "Indians, Indians," and waking the farmer people. And all this stuff is growing now, right? It's this fear. It's growing. And one of the families, I was told, I won't mention the family name because they're still in the area, but one of the families had a two-year little boy that they raced out of there so fast they were going down the road, he actually bounced out of the back of their buckboard, and another family saw him and picked him up, and they just kept going and didn't realize he bounced out of the buckboard. But that's what fear can do. And I'd love to see it, you know, to where hope can be that contagious. and hope can be contagious. And I think when I look at the world today, I see a world that needs that hope. I want to share a Bible verse with you this evening, and that Bible verse is found in Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, is there anything that any of us want any more than hope and a future? So many times today, hope is built on so many shallow things. What we can obtain the next day or the next minute, or a feeling that we can have. I really believe that is a huge part of what's behind our drug problem today. It's a lack of hope and a desire to feel good for just a moment. And that's what that drug many times offers. That's what that stop on the way home from work at the bar that you do every night. And then you finally, come in about 10, you've spent more money than you should, and you didn't get things done. You're trying to feel better than you did 5 hours earlier.
Is that where that that's the cliche comes in? False hope, is that where?
Yeah, and there's a lot of false hope. I think false hope is anything that you put your hope in, your true hope, and your life hope in. You ready for this one? Other than God. Because God is the only constant. God is the only thing that is unchangeable. God doesn't change. He stays the same. He's always truthful. And that's where we put our hope. You put your hope in God, He's not going to walk out on you. And that's why, that particular verse, and there's so many others, but that particular verse says, "I know the plans I have for you." This is God speaking, okay, as Jeremiah is writing it. "Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you." Everyone's always afraid of God's going to get me. God's not here to get you. God is here to save you. God is here as that refuge in the storm. And in a lot of religions around the world, there is a great fear that their God is going to get them. Our God is not out to get us. We have that opportunity to know true hope through Him. Another verse that I'd like to read, actually is a couple of them. It's in 1 Peter in the New Testament, verses 3 through about 4b. It says, "Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus, that in His mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and into an inheritance that can never spoil or perish, that is kept in heaven for you." That's an inheritance I want, that can never spoil or perish, a new birth. How many times have you heard people say, I've ruined my life. It's just from here on out, I just got to get by. I've blown my chances. We talked last week about missing chances a little bit, missing chances with people or relationships and things that have happened in our lives. And a lot of people think, my best years are behind me, or some of those other cliches out there, but the truth is, in God, through Jesus Christ, and through accepting His freedom from sin through His death, burial, and resurrection, and believing and following Him and trusting Him, He truly promises a new life and a new hope. And if you look, as I look at the world and I look out there, I see so much hopelessness. People might say they have hope, but talk about it with them long-term sometimes. Where's your hope long-term? One of the things, a lot of times people say, well, the thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow is just fear. I don't want God to get me. I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. How about the thing that keeps you on the right path, knowing that when you're on that right path, there is a hope? You have that hope. And you can trust in that hope, and you want to keep working towards that hope all the time. The truth is that God wants joy in our lives. He doesn't want us to be these sulking people that walk around looking like doom and gloom. You know, he talked about at one point when you're praying, don't put on sackcloth and ashes and whine around in gloom, doom and gloom and, oh, look at me, I'm mourning, I'm this thing. He says, wash your face, put on a bright countenance. You know, he wants us people to see the joy in our lives, not these people walking around looking like the world came to an end. He came to give the world life, not to end the world. Why would he want, as Christians, for us to walk around in doom and gloom all the time? Or why would he want us to walk around all the time throwing our judgment everywhere? And that's another interesting subject. You know, when you talk about judgment, a lot of times people say, well, you know, the Bible says not to judge anyone, lest you be judged. But, you know, God wants you to understand there that you're going to be judged by the same measure that you judge someone else. It doesn't say that we don't talk about right and wrong. You know what I mean? It's saying, don't you judge people. Look, God is the ultimate judge of the world. He's the ultimate judge of right and wrong. His book is full of all kinds of things that he tells us are right and wrong. Simply by repeating what God says is right or wrong is not me judging anyone. That would be God doing that, me just repeating it, hopefully for the sake of the person that I'm talking to. So where do we go with hope? Why do we see the things that we see today? You know, I just saw something on the news this week. Two different cases. There was a fashion designer that took her life, and Anthony Bourdain took his life. And they all seemed like they had the world by the tail, didn't they? There was something they were missing. You know what it was? What's that four-letter word we're talking about?
Hope.
Hope. Mm-hmm. You don't take your life when you have hope. You take your life when you've given up on hope. And you see nowhere else to go.
That's what our question was today. It seemed like both of them was kind of spur-of-the-moment things. I mean, it seemed like they had the world by the tail and, you know. And
Terry, you just said the two key words to what we're talking about here. Seemed like. Very rarely as people do we expose ourselves.
I mean, the one guy was taping a show in France and, you know, it seemed like he was.
But we wear masks. We don't want to. The hurt people to see, you know, we don't want people to see how we're feeling inside and the hurt and the those things and where we're at. Obviously, they were sort of two people that were very, very, very tormented, but they didn't show that torment. Robin Williams is a prime example. Most jovial, funny guy in the world, and he was just being torn away inside by torment. Depression. You know, we have in our country the amount of, you know, and I don't know the figures, and I'm not going to pretend to, but I know that the amount of antidepressants prescribed in this country is off the charts. Why is everyone so depressed? There's a lot of reasons. I don't want to get into that tonight. We'd be here forever. You know, I think an awful lot of it becomes overreach. We do too much. We expect too much. We're trying to do too much. And we weren't designed to do that much. You know, God designed us as pretty simplistic creatures. God designed us with that plan for our lives, that he has a plan for everyone's life. And I don't think that it's God's plan that brings stress into our life or gets us to that point of depression. I think what happens is it's all the other stuff we're trying to do to avoid the plan, and our life just get tangled up like a big ball of cat hair. And you know, and we're trying to go in every direction, and God's saying, stop, let me give you rest. You know, he says that, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come on, sit down, kick your feet up. Took a picture this week of my granddaughter and her boyfriend went with us on this trip with some other couples and adults and whatnot. And I took a picture of them. They were sitting on a beach in these two lawn chairs, and they were facing the ocean. And I was a ways behind them. So in this picture, all you have is this huge, broad ocean with these two lawn chairs in the distance with two people facing the ocean. And I looked at that, and I thought to myself, rest, rest. Nothing there plugging their minds, nothing there, you know, the busyness is gone. It gives you time to think. We're not giving ourselves a lot of time to think. But here's the thing, Terry. If we listen to what God says and we trust him for our hope, if our hope rests in him, we can handle all those other situations better. Because look at it this way. Say my job could be on the edge. Say maybe there's a real possibility I'll lose my job. Say maybe my health's on the edge. Say maybe all kinds of things aren't right. But ultimately, I know that I've got the Lord in my life and that my hope rests in him. No matter what happens, he's not letting me go. Then what do I know? I can handle all those other things. Because worst case scenario, I'm in the hands of the Almighty God. Wow. That's a good scenario. There's your hope. So as long as I'm on earth and I run into situations, I can say, you know, Lord, this is tough. I'm having a tough time. I want to give you this problem. You guide me to direct me to whatever I need to do, whatever is my responsibility in a situation, to do what I should do and give me the courage and the strength to do it. But Lord, I know that ultimately I'm in your hands. You know, you can go to bed and go home and go to bed that night. Because, you know, I mean, if you truly believe that and truly know that in your heart, you know, and it doesn't really matter where you're at or what you have. You know, people might be listening to the show. They might say, oh, Pastor, that's real easy for you. You know, we're getting ready to be evicted and we have no money. We have no hope. We have no, you know, we don't have anything. The Lord doesn't say here, rest in me and I'll give you all those things. He says, let me be your hope. He promises us that if he can take care of a simple little sparrow, how much more is he going to take care of us that he loved and designed and created? We just have to be willing to watch him do it. Something I've been very blessed by in my life. And you know, maybe you've been here too. And I know we've talked that you haven't always, I'm sure that you haven't always been at the top of the Forbes list and had everything you want. Not that you are now. I don't want to give the viewers the wrong idea. But, you know, there were times in my life where I couldn't afford to buy diapers for the kids. There were times where we were going to not have a place to live. There were times where I did look at my wife and feel horrible because I had promised to love her and keep her and support her and do all these things for her. And I had to look at the stress she was going through because where we were financially or whatever else, and say, wow, you know, that's just heartbreaking. It hurts. I mean, we've been there. You know, as a kid, I remember laying in a bed and listening to my parents have a horrible fight in the next room and him, my dad, packing a bag and going out the door and sobbing like a kid. I've been in those painful situations. I've lost parents. I lost my dad young into a car accident. And, you know, I've had a lot of stress in my life. We all have. But see, the thing is, we don't let that define us. I've had people tell me that, you know, my life's a wreck. You know, this happened, that happened, that happened, this happened. You don't know what my childhood was like. No, I don't, but I know what mine was like. And by all rights, according to what the world tells us, and psychologists will tell us when we're on the couch, I probably should be blaming everything in the world I have based on all those things that happened to me. And they were. They're too innumerable to count, and some of them were crazy. And they went from every gambit you can imagine. But the deal is, because I put my faith and hope in Jesus Christ and ultimately what he's going to do through me, and my value rests in him and his value of me, that stuff's just stuff that happened. Sure, I would have loved to have grown up with my dad. Broke my heart when my dad couldn't be there for my kids to be born. You know, or be there for my wedding or my grandkids or any of that kind of stuff, you know. But you know what? That's not where my hope rests. My hope rests in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. So therefore, see, I can have hope. And I don't have to worry about losing that hope, because if we look at that verse again in 1 Peter where it said, in his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. In other words, I was born once. I was born as a baby into this world. It's a broken world. A lot of things go wrong. But he gives me that new birth through him. when I accept this free gift he's given me, and that new birth is hope in him, not hope in the world around us. That's the second birth. And the new birth is in him. And then it says, and into an inheritance that can never spoil or perish. See, what he promises me down the road isn't going anywhere. You know, I don't have to worry about it going bankrupt. I don't have to worry about someone robbing the fund. I don't have to worry about anything. And, you know, that inheritance also, you know where that inheritance rests? In heaven. Nobody can corrupt it here on earth. It rests in heaven. Therefore, I have it. And I know that it's mine. So that allows me the freedom to go out and live my life without that depression. Sure, do I get affected by momentary depression? Don't we all? You know, people upset us. I think that one of the hardest things for me many times is not things, it's not money, it's people that will upset me, you know, that maybe a hurt inside when you can't reach someone or you've tried to care about someone that just doesn't. Anyway, people hurts are hard. I think that are one of the hardest to take. And, you know, there's so much trouble out there. So many kids today have multiple parents, co-parents, grandparents, adults that have just stumbled down every wrong path in the world. You've heard of the old saying, jump out of the frying pan into the skillet or vice versa. People do that all the time. I don't understand it. I've watched so many beautiful women, and the reason I say beautiful has nothing to do with their physical appearance. I think God made women extremely beautiful. They're a beautiful creation of his, and I'm talking about their heart and their countenance. I'm not talking about their looks. But I've seen God made so many beautiful women that will go from one abusive relationship and literally walk right into another one. And they don't need to do that. God expects more for you. God planned more for you. God loves you more than that. You do not deserve to be abused by anyone. And, you know, men at the same time, men that you know, God made you to be a creature that has strength and leads and loves, leads with love. How's that one? Not some big bully that stands up there and demands his way, but someone that leads out of a loving heart. And he should do the same thing in his family. And many of those men, you know, have been trampled on and hurt and broken. I've got a dear friend that is a wonderful, wonderful man. Matter of fact, I've got more than one of those. But anyway, but has been horribly broken by someone that just walked all over his emotions, his heart. And he's got to come back from that and know that his strength is in Jesus Christ and in the Lord. And we have that with kids that have been devalued, made to believe that they're nothing, you know. You know, the stuff that I've heard parents say to kids are mind-boggling. You're worthless. Get out of my way. I regret the day I had you. You know, kids hear this stuff all the time. Could you imagine a little kid hearing that? I have to say this, Terry. Something I was very blessed with, and maybe I don't understand because I was very blessed with this. My parents loved me. And they never told me I was worthless. And they never told me to get out of their face. I made them sick. Did they do some things a couple times in my life that hurt? Yeah, they did. But I never for a minute thought they didn't want me. And that's something I haven't experienced. And my heart goes out to these kids out there that have to hear that and feel that and be bounced around from foster home to foster home. But I want to tell you something out there on the air tonight, folks. If you're an adult that you were brought up that way, or if you're a young person that happens to be listening to this, God has unbelievable intrinsic value in you that is beyond belief. He loves you. And you might say, well, how can God love me and me be in this situation? God didn't put you there. It's the broken world we live in that's a mess is where you're at. But God stands ready, willing, able, and desiring for you to reach out for him and say, God, lift me up. Pull me out of this miry clay that I'm stuck in and put me up on the solid rock where I can stand and have a firm foundation. And I think that I believe that our biggest problem today in this world and in society is hope. People put their hope in fame. Well, we just saw the last week that doesn't always work. They put their faith in money. That doesn't work. They put their faith in all these things that are tangible to them. See, there are things that they feel they can obtain without the help of a God. I can do it. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and I can do it. I'm so smart that I can manipulate this situation. I'm so smart I can outthink this or I. And they get eyed to death. And God says, wait a minute, you don't understand. Hope comes through me. Hope comes to surrendering your life to me. And you say, God, I don't know how to do that. I mean, what do you want me to do? Get on your knees and ask him. You know, admit that you've blown it. Admit that I've got a lot of sin in my life. I've got mistakes, all these things I've done. You know, God, will you forgive me for them? You know, your son paid for them on the cross, and that's why he came, and I'm asking you to forgive me of those, and that you would come in and guide my life. Give me that eternal hope that I need. And you know what? He will. And he can start in baby steps. Someone says, yeah, Pastor, I'd like to do that, but man, my kids are still hungry. You know, if you take fear off the table and replace it with hope, you can sit down and say, you know what? I got about $10 to my name and I got the rest of the month and I don't know how I'm going to feed these kids. And you can ask the Lord to help you with that and to give you clarity of mind to think about it. And then you can start looking for places to help you feed your kids. And you can find them. You know, this is America. I have been involved in the outreach ministry long enough to know there's food out there, folks. There's food out there. There's a lot of food being thrown away because it doesn't get used. You got to think about it. You got to think about how to use it. Another thing we have to learn how to do, and maybe you've never learned this in your life, but learn how to cook. It's amazing, Terry. Our food pantry, you know, we like to put together a lot of staples, things people can stretch and use. Nobody wants them because they don't use them. If it's not pre-made or in a box, they're struggling. And it's so different regionally. It's funny because when I was down south, we were helping with a food pantry, a mission team that went down. And it was really weird because this was a big, well-known food pantry that a lot of people came to. But all the stuff that they had in there were like big bags of rice and flour and it was funny, and lard and all these kind of things and vegetables and all these things. And people were just grabbing that stuff up because for some reason in areas of the South, they still know how to throw a meal together. We struggle with that here. A lot of people haven't been taught. Fast food's too convenient. But see, it doesn't cost you a dime to go to the library and ask for a book on cooking, simple cooking, and just sit down and start looking at it. Think, wow, you know, I don't have to buy this ready and this ready and this ready. I can go buy some staples and make some good meals.
One of the best investments I made for $10 was a crock pot.
Isn't that the truth? You throw anything in and make it taste good.
And I honestly, I was in there. I don't know how to cook anything, but everything I do in a crock pot. For 50 cents at a yard sale, I bought a cookbook.
Turn it on low and leave for the day.
Yeah.
And throw, you know, some meat, a couple vegetables in,
yeah,
some water, and let her rip.
The main thing I do is I go to, like, Kroger's or something, and I buy a lot of meatballs, and I cook those. But those, you can make several different dishes.
With the meatballs. From absolutely, yeah, you yeah. can. Absolutely.
You know, one day I make subs, one day I make, you know, and it's...
My wife and I got home 10:30 last night from that 18-hour trip of driving. And this morning got up, and we went and did some stuff and had some odds and ends to do. And she served lunch today. In Prospect, we have free lunch for the kids and the seniors all during the summer. It starts at 11:30 in the morning and goes to 12:30. And they can just come and get a free lunch. If you're a kid or a senior, parents bring you. It's right there at 209 East Water at the church. But anyway, we went and did that. And then we went home and we had like a case of strawberries that we needed to cut up and put away. And the reason we had that is because somebody we knew of a produce place that had a bunch that were going to go bad, and they got them from them. Do you know that you can go in, I don't want to make the stores mad, but several of the big box stores in Marion and around, and go in and say, do you have anything in your freezer that you just outdated or get ready? Oh, yeah, come on back. And there's not a thing wrong with it. And another thing that people, you know, really surprising, Terry, is that people don't realize is that that date on a can or on a package is a sell-by date. It is not a good-by date. Now, I'm talking about non-perishables. Milk, obviously, you know, come on. But meat, obviously. But anything in a can, you'd be surprised. That will last 4 years. There's a code on the back of a can, and there's an 800 number. You can actually call on most companies, most products, and give them that code, and they will tell you the probable shelf life of that item. I know that if you go to, like, Mid-Ohio Food Bank, who supplies a lot of our pantries and whatnot, almost everything they give out is outdated. I don't know if people realize that. It's past the sell-by date. That's how they get it. That's why the stores give it to them. But it's completely healthy and not a thing wrong with it. Best-by date usually runs into the situation of, is it bright green? Is it bright yellow? Is it those are the sell-by dates for super freshness. But the other thing it is, too, we got to rotate our stock to keep the product moving. So don't be afraid of those sell-by dates, unless I say it's something perishable. And so there's a lot of things you can do, but you got to sit back and think. When I raised my children, almost all of our clothes came from the Salvation Army and the Goodwill and thrift stores. And we could buy some nice stuff. But you know what? Now my kids are all adults. I've got 13 grandkids, 4 kids, 4 more spouses. That's a bunch of people. And most of their shopping, I have to honestly say, is the first thing they think of is, let's go by and see what they have at these stores. Because why in the world do you need to go buy a $40 pair of jeans that you can get for $4 that may be a better pair of jeans in a store? And it's true. I mean, obviously, personal items, bras, underwear, most people, well, let's go to the store and buy those. They're inexpensive enough anyway. But there's so many things people can do to alleviate current circumstances. And another one I'll point out that I got to be careful here, because I believe the mission of the church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's the people that, I have to say, the people that come to church because they are believers, because they've given their lives to Christ, and they become of that church body, that church family. Jesus called it the bride of Christ. It's his bride, the church. And you become part of that family. They are there for you when you're in need. And it's reciprocal. In other words, maybe you can help someone else another day. But whether it's a personal need, a life need, a physical need, sometimes even a monetary need. Unfortunately, what we run into a lot of times with the churches today is people want to come and get the stuff, but they don't want to hear the message. And the truth is, they kind of go hand in hand. You know, the message to us is far more important than the stuff, because the stuff is all perishable and the message is not perishable. You see the difference? The message of Jesus Christ lives on and on in our lives forever. And it'll help us get out of that place and to begin to have a life where we sit back and think instead of grabbing at straws all the time. And we do so much of that. You know, got to have this, got to have that. You know, I don't feel good tonight. Let's go do this. You know, let's not eat dinner tonight. Let's go here. Let's go there. You know, we've really had a breakdown in sitting around the table as a family unit, haven't we? You know why? Because we've lost the family unit. You know, we don't have the roles in their perspective places. The children aren't listening to mom and dad. They're not going to mom and dad for advice. We're not having those discussions with our children that are heart to heart. There's too much, dare I say, screaming going on. There's too much of that going on and too many volatile situations. But see, we're offered hope through Jesus Christ. And I look at the problems today, and I've got to go back again to, we keep trying to push God out of our society. And as God has been pushed, the attempts have been made to push God out of our society, the hope has gone with it, because that's where the hope lies. And these kids are brought up, and even kids that don't come from the best situation, you know, that have grown up in Sunday school and church, and they hear the message, in the back of their mind, they know there's hope, and they don't feel so fatalistic. But when you raise children without that eternal hope, without that internal hope, they can become fatalistic very easy. Because what's my life worth? I lost all my friends. What's my life worth? I have no money. What's my life worth? All my friends got a new car and I can't even afford a bicycle. And the girls don't even want to date me. I mean, on the other hand, when we have hope in Christ, you might feel things are unfair. I know I have at times in my life. I was a very poor kid put in a situation with a lot of families that were well-to-do or middle class, and it was difficult. But I knew that I had intrinsic value through God, and I would eventually rise above all the stuff that was pushing me down. And see, that's what God does, is he shows us a way that we can rise up above that through him, not through us. You know, the minute I go pull my bootstraps up, I'm going to snap a strap. You know what I mean? On my own. But when I trust God and ask God to direct me in it, then I do it. And then it's going to happen. And I just wish more people would understand there's hope. You know, Terry, within the reach of this broadcast right here, there's probably 75 churches. I'll bet so. And in many of those churches today, you can go find hope. It's not about the music, folks. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings if that's what you go to church for. It's not about the music. It's not about the flash, the bang, and the boom. It's not about going to a church where everybody just sits around and says, you know, we're the remnant, the only hope, and we're going to stay here in our huddle little shell and be better than everyone either. It's not about any of those things. It's about the real hope in Jesus Christ. And the church needs to be sharing that. And the church needs to be helping people along and mentoring and being mentors for young people and for people. You need to know that they care. And I know out there's churches all over the place. I'd love for you to come to our church, but you know what? The truth is that there's a lot of churches out there that you can go to and that God is working in them every day to lift people up. And if you find one of those churches and never darken our door, praise God for you because you're where you need to be. But they're out there, folks. Get up Sunday morning, find one. Pick up your phone book and look for one. I know most of you got phones. Pick up your phone and Google churches in Marion. Start looking. You'll find one. And it doesn't have to be the church with the biggest bang. Find a church that's close that you can get to if the car breaks down. You know what I mean? Find something local. You know, one of the things I think we miss a lot is we've lost our neighborhood churches in the last 5 or 6 decades. Everybody used to be able to walk to church. The church where we're at on Water Street, there was no parking lot. It was in the middle of town. Matter of fact, I don't think any of the churches had parking lots originally. You know, they had to end up buying ground, tear down houses to put in parking lots. People walked to church. Or if they were out of town, they'd come in, you know, but they walked to church. You can still do that, folks. I guarantee you that there's a church within walking distance about just about everyone that I'm talking to on this program. And I encourage you to bow your knees tonight. Get on your knees beside your bed and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing right now or why I'm doing this. But show me your love and bring me to you and help me find a church. And I bet he'll do it. Because, see, that's the thing. His word doesn't return void. He says that anyone who calls on him, he will not cast out. So I know that if you sincerely do that, it's going to happen. And to me, that's my hope for you tonight. And that's the hope I want to talk about. It's that hope in Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Not promising your riches, because he's not promising your riches here on earth. Not popularity. You're not going to suddenly get beautiful. But understand something. God made you unbelievably beautiful in his eyes in the way he designed you. Man, you know, the scripture says, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And that's where he finds the beauty. I'd rather be real ugly in the mirror and beautiful in the heart any day than have a beautiful face and have an ugly black heart. And that's just the way it is. Because I'm going to love, I'm going to have joy, I'm going to have happiness. And there's too many pretty people taking their lives today. So it's obviously, you know, they say beauty's only skin deep. There's another cliche. It's true. And there's nothing wrong with beauty, but it's nice when it goes deeper than the skin, right? So wait, how much time we got left, Terry? We're about there. 4 minutes? Well, I've got you here a minute. Our youth group's getting ready to do a thing called Ohio Changers next week, where we'll be going to, we'll be headed out to West Jefferson, Ohio to stay, and a bunch of kids from all over the state are going to come together, and they're going to do work on homes in London, Ohio, and they pick different areas every year. We got some other kids going to Bible camp next week for the younger kids. Like I said, we have the free lunches from 11:30 to 12:30 every day if you live in Prospect area. I know in the Elgin district, I believe they do lunches in New Bloomington and LaRue, if I'm not mistaken. But we do lunches at our church every day. It's free. If you're a senior, you're a kid, please come. And also, we just have a lot of neat things going out throughout the summer. We got church camp coming up in Prospect. So get registered for that. That's going to be a blast. Moose on the Loose. It's going to be in the evenings in the second week of July. And a lot of neat things going on. But I encourage you to come visit us. Sunday school is 9:30. Church is at 10:30. We have evening service, midweek service. You can come to any of them or all of them. And a youth group going on. Real exciting things going on. But, you know, come visit us. Don't be afraid. We are a very odd bunch of people. I'd say normal, but I don't know what's normal. But anyway, we're a very inviting, caring church. And please look us up. If nothing else, hey, if you can't get a ride, call me. I'll make sure you get here. I'll make sure you get there. But, you know, Terry, it's been great to see you. I'm feeling refreshed and revived. I think I'm going to go have dinner with my son tonight. And I think he likes to have me over the night before my birthday usually. And usually he puts a big fat steak on the grill, and I hope that's what he's doing tonight.
I was going to say, with all that adrenaline you still got going through you from that big trip, man. and then eating a steak on top, you'll sleep like a baby tonight.
Hey, by the way, if I got a couple seconds, my brother-in-law, his name is Dean Unger. He lives in Florida, and I was down there with them. And Dean is really, really struggling with some muscular dystrophy. And a very active guy his whole life. He was a bodybuilder at one time and a bicyclist and hard worker, good man. But he's been struck with this disease, and Dean's 68 now. But he still has the greatest attitude in the world. It's amazing. But it's really becoming, taking a toll on him, his physical ability. And it's becoming very difficult for my sister, too, to care for him. He falls a lot, and she has, you know, it's just getting difficult. So I just want to mention Dean Unger tonight. If you guys could lift him up, I truly appreciate that. And I know you're out there, and I know you don't know this guy, but you know what? God loves him, and so do we, right?
Yeah.
So I want to
keep him in our prayers.
And please let me know if any of you need prayer. Call that number, 740-494-2222. Love y'all. Good night.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.